Tonight we're going to be looking at the story of Mary, as in Martha and Mary, and the way that she poured out her love to Jesus in quite an incredible way. Going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 12. This is just after Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And we learn in the verses just before that Jesus' enemies are looking now to make their move. And 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a liter of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put there. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believe in him. It's almost amusing, not quite, given the seriousness of the subject matter, that they decide they're going to kill Lazarus after Jesus raised him from the dead. I mean, I'm glad they didn't succeed. Would Jesus have done it again? That would really have been something, wouldn't it? Who knows? But thinking about Mary, we often think about the next chapter, which is Jesus washing the disciples' feet and seeing it as a great model of what Jesus came to do, seeing it as an example of servanthood that we are to follow. And of course, it is right that we do that. Jesus has shown us what real greatness looks like in that act of acting the servant, of washing his disciples' feet. But in chapter 12, before Jesus cleans his disciples' feet, Mary cleans his. And not just with water, with incredibly expensive perfume. Judas reckons that it's a year's worth of wages. Who knows? I don't think we trust Judas necessarily to tell us the whole truth. But it certainly was a very expensive act that she did. And as we're approaching Easter, just 4 weeks to go now, it is important that we see Jesus as the servant, the suffering servant, the one who washes his disciples' feet, the one who moves from the high rank to the lowest rank and makes himself nothing. But it is also important that we see him, and we looked at this in quite a lot of depth last week. It's also important that we see him as the glorified one. That we see him as the one who knows how to receive as well as to give. Here, Mary pays Jesus this incredible honor, and Jesus accepts it and thinks it is wonderful. Jesus takes it as a sign of his burial. It was what you did in that culture. If you loved somebody, you would honor somebody when they died by the way that you embalmed their body. And there wasn't going to be a lot of time to do that, as far as Jesus was concerned. This was the opportunity. This was the day. And Mary grabs it. And as she would do with somebody who she loved very much, she goes to town. No amount of honor can be too much for Jesus. The fragrance of the perfume fills the entire house. What a wonderful word filled is. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, you go in a room and you say, you know, is there something in here? Can I smell something? And sometimes you go into a room and the smell just completely hits you. And Mary has prepared this act of devotion for Jesus, this act of honoring him that hits you. Somebody just walking into the room at that moment would go, wow, what is going on here? And we as a church are here to honor Jesus. We are here to glorify him. I mean, it must have been quite a scene. You know, twice in that reading, the gospel makes the point that, you know, Lazarus, who is sitting beside him, was the one that he had raised from the dead. And here is Jesus, the one who is about to be raised from the dead, sitting alongside the one who he has raised from the dead. Except that when Jesus is raised from the dead, it's going to be different. Not just coming back as Lazarus did, but coming back to God's resurrection life. And coming back from the dead with every honor that God can give to him. What Mary's act here and the resurrection of Jesus both show us is that Jesus deserves every bit of honor that we can give to him. No amount of worship can be too much. No worship can be too lavish for the honor that Jesus is due. Tonight at the Oscars, they will get out the red carpet and honor people who have certain talents. Nothing compared to the honor that Mary and God the Father give to Jesus. And for us too, we join in. And nobody can top the honor that God the Father gives to the Son. But we are here to try. Mary takes the job of a servant, because remember, washing the feet was the servant's job. Mary takes the job of a servant and turns it into sheer extravagance. So the model of service that we are given is not simply grudgingly doing a few servants' job. It's about really going for it as a servant. Judas is offended by the cost of it all. And I wonder if in our hearts we slightly agree with him. Maybe we think, could the money have been better spent? Mind you, of course, Jesus is the poor man at this point. He is the one who was rich beyond all splendor, yet for love's sake became so poor. But Mary is just thinking that Jesus must be honored, and she is going to show it. What she does is awkward. I mean, if a woman was to come in here tonight and start doing to me what she did to Jesus, you would think it was pretty weird. But actually, then, it would have been even more weird than it would appear to be now. I mean, if you read earlier on John chapter 4, where Jesus is speaking to the woman of Samaria, you know, it says the disciples go away and they come back and they are surprised that Jesus is talking to a woman. Goodness knows what they made of this in a culture where men didn't talk to women. What do you make of this display of love and intimacy? And she lets her hair down and wipes his feet. Now, I'm never quite sure what was considered decent or indecent in biblical times. Different people have different ideas, but I'm pretty sure that this would have been considered indecent. Women did not go around doing stuff like that. People would have gone, whoa, you know, what is going on here? I mean, never mind the smell of the perfume. Mary, why on earth are you behaving like this? And love sometimes drives us to do things that otherwise appear completely crazy. There are similar stories to this in all of the Gospels. And the commentators differ as to how many separate stories there are. So it's quite possible that things like this happened more than once, or maybe even three times to Jesus, or maybe even more times that the Gospels are not telling us about. Mark tells us that Jesus, when this was done to him, said that what was being done was beautiful. Just think about that for a moment. Think about our worship. Think about what we offer to Jesus. I love the idea of Jesus looking on at us and thinking that what we do is beautiful. Maybe that would encourage some in our church family to say, I'm going to give myself more to worship. You know, it's not just that he wants it. It's not just that he receives it. But when we go all out for him, he looks and he thinks, that is beautiful. Luke tells us about what is almost certainly a different but similar event, because the woman has a very different character to Mary in this. But when Jesus receives this offering from this woman, and the host starts to object in this case, Jesus turns to the host and tells him off for not welcoming Jesus well enough. You know, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't kiss me when I came, and it was culturally appropriate for men to kiss in those days. You didn't offer me the greeting. You didn't offer me the love. But this woman loves much. And again, Jesus notices whether he is welcome or not. He cares about whether he's welcome or not. When our hearts are open towards him and we want to praise him, when we want to hear from him, when we want to follow him, then that pleases him. Just as this offering from Mary and however many other women it was pleased him too. And when we worship Jesus, we are agreeing with God's verdict on Jesus. God's response to Jesus is lavish. God raises him from the dead and announces him as Lord. And what is going on here? I don't know if all the translations quite make it clear, but what is going on here is a formal meal that's being held in his honor. You know, it's not just Jesus come round for dinner. This is the meal to show how important Jesus is. And Martha, who we know from elsewhere in the New Testament, how is she going to go show her love for Jesus? she's going to wait on the tables. And I think there's an inference here that we're not actually at Martha and Mary's home here. But Martha, perhaps, maybe I'm pushing too much on the story here, but I think Martha is the sort of person who's going to end up in the kitchen. And that's how she's going to show her love for Jesus. And Lazarus, how does he show his love for Jesus? Well, he wants to be close to Jesus. He wants to sit beside him. Well, I mean, wouldn't you after what Jesus had just done for him? And wouldn't we after what Jesus has done for us? He wants to be close to him. He wants to sit at the table with him. But Mary wants to top the lot. Mary wants to be outrageous in the love that she shows for Jesus. So let's not be ashamed to show our love for Jesus, whether you're a Martha or a Mary or a Lazarus. Let's give of ourselves in terms of worship to him. And as often happens when we offer our worship, there are people who will tell us that it's not the best use of our time. There will be people who will tell us that it's not the best use of our money, just like Judas. You know, why couldn't this money have been given to the poor? And John, the gospel writer, has a right old dig at Judas at this point. Oh, he didn't care about the poor, really. He was a thief. Although maybe those who do care for the poor might actually try and make the same point. And Jesus makes it very clear that worship is not an excuse for avoiding those who are in need. That is what the church is for. And when he says, you will always have the poor among you, what I think he means is not just there will always be poor people. If he'd meant that, he could have said that. No, he said, you will always have the poor among you. That the church of Jesus, if it's doing things right, will always be the place where the poor are welcomed. It will always be the place where the poor have a home. It will always be the place where the poor are being served. So as we worship tonight, I hope you hear Jesus rebuking the person who might tell you tonight that what you've come here to do is not the best thing to do. I hope we can agree with the Father's verdict on Jesus that Jesus deserves all honor. And in a few moments, we're going to share bread and wine together. We're going to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus in a way that Christians have been doing for coming up for 2,000 years. Jesus says this. This is a verse from later on in John chapter 12. When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. His death is going to be his lifting up. His death is going to be the Father taking him to the place of glory and the place of all authority. And as he goes there, he will draw people to himself. He will open out his arms to all people and say to them, come closely to me. So let's seek to do that as we take bread and wine on this Sunday evening.